This is a Pinball News production.
Thanks for coming to this unannounced talk. It was a late addition to the schedule, and Ed sent me an email a couple days ago and said, oh, I forgot to tell Kim. So we had planned it a few weeks ago, but it didn't make it onto the program. So I appreciate you coming out. When we signed up to sponsor, Ed also asked me to send him an ad. This is what I came up with at the spur of the moment. And I wasn't sure he'd even print it. And then I don't know if you've seen the program yet, but it's on the inside cover of the program. So who knows? And then I got contacted by Jonathan Justin. We put this ad up on our Facebook page. And Jonathan Justin, who does Pinball Magazine, contacted me. He said, we're putting together this pinball book that we're going to sell internationally in multiple languages. You know, what do you want to advertise? So I said, well, do you really want vomit in your magazine? He didn't seem to mind that, but then he told me that orange is the national color of the Netherlands. So tending to beat up on orange doesn't always work. But you can't buy marketing like this. Also, when I did this, we have starships are white, even though there's no white on the logo. I think now we have to change it to genies are blue. Since I sent that in, we've announced our 10th multicolored title, Arabian Nights. It will be here in the Elevation Games booth. I think Mark had to run out and pick it up because it didn't show up on time. But it'll be there a little bit later. It came out really nice. I think it's one of the best ones that we've done. And then if you're tracking Pinside or Facebook, you know that we just announced a new color-changing feature for Sigma. And that's also set up in the Elevation Games booth. It's on a Spider-Man there. It looks really nice. And I'll talk a little bit about how we made that happen and what the plans are for the future with the color changing. I'll try to keep this somewhat short. I know you guys are eager to get in the game room and see Steve Ritchie. So a little bit about Color DMD. The idea started in 2009. Basically just an idea. I was at an Orange County Pinball League meeting, and I don't know if you know Bill Ung, but he's the guy that put together the saucer kit for Attack from Mars. And I always thought it was pretty cool how he took what he does as his job and tied it in with his hobby and found a way to combine the two. And I was looking for a project where maybe I could add something and have a little fun at the same time. And I was hoping to come up with an idea like Bill, something that was small and compact. You do it, get it over with, and move on. Somehow I ended up with this. This was the only idea I had. From that idea, Chris Enright, who's in that picture with me, signed on, and we formed an LLC in January of 2012 to actually produce and market these color DMD displays. We're both in Southern California. I operate the company out of San Clemente. And we're running sales both through our website at www.colordmd.com or through distributors like Bay Area here, Ministry of Pinball, and Pinball Palace in the UK. And we ship internationally. So here's a picture of the original Color DMD. So back in 2009, the first thing I had done when I had the idea was tried to put some stuff on the PC and just captured some video frames and just hand-colored them dot by dot to see what it would look like, and started to step through a sequence. And the first sequence that we did was the trolls from Medieval Madness. And I thought it looked pretty cool, and it started to say, maybe there's something here. When I was trying to put a hardware system together, the first idea was to use those the LED dot matrices that you see. Some vendors are using them now for pinball replacement displays. Stern uses them. The problem I had was that they were really expensive and I couldn't find them in the right form factor that I needed. And the idea was almost dead, but I started searching around what else can I use to try to do this. And I found at Walmart a 15-inch monitor that looked like it was sort of around the right size, maybe. And I brought it home. I got a Xilinx reference board to code up some of the algorithms. And actually had this working on the game. So it's just a VGA input coming off this reference board. and it would recognize frames as the game was being played, and if it found something it recognized, it would add the color on top of the frame. And you were able to flip it and actually see what it would look like. So that was the original version. We went through multiple iterations, often with dangerous high voltage backlights. And luckily, the low voltage LED backlights started to come out around that same time, which allowed me to put it into a form factor that would be safe and something that I could share with people. So this is the current color DMD that we sell. It's gone through a few iterations of the mounting bracket too, so that's an older bracket. But you can see it's a standard notebook display. We only light up the center of the screen where the speaker panel shows through. And it was designed to be easy to use, basically make it as plug and play as we possibly could. The processor on the board, that Xilinx FPGA in the center. So the way this works is you hook up the DMD signal, the standard ribbon cable up in the upper left-hand corner. The signals run down to that chip in the center. It's trying to do real-time processing to recognize what's happening and do the color substitution. The stuff on the right-hand side there, you can see a USB port and a USB controller. There's a little flash memory down in the lower right corner. That's where we store all the color data. So we don't keep any of the actual images on the board itself. So everything's being generated by the game, and we're just adding color on top of those images on the fly. And then the lower left-hand corner, there's the voltage regulators. So we have switching supplies to keep everything cool. When we did Adam's Family, we ran into a problem because where the screen fits is also where the thing lamps are. And we didn't know how we were going to get around that for a while. We were looking at alternate mountings where maybe we push the screen up above the thing lamps. And we finally had the idea, well, maybe we can just use the screen to light up the inserts. And that's what we ended up doing. And so that left connector there was added, and that's the same plug that would plug into the thing lamp board. And that interface is something that we're using now for color changing. So I'll talk about that a little bit more. All right, because we're using an FPGA, which is basically a programmable chip, where instead of just writing a computer program like in C language, you write it in a hardware definition language. And you run it through something that's similar to a compiler, which they call a synthesizer. And you can synthesize different hardware circuits, different logic circuits, AND gates, OR gates, registers, whatever you need. So because we had this USB interface, which I put in there because I anticipated bugs, and maybe we could fix the bugs, but since that was there, we could actually repurpose the FPGA and use it to do different processing. And so at TPF last year, we introduced Sigma. That was the first time we had ever shown Sigma. And so basically what was done there was that the color processing that was going into this FPGA was replaced by smoothing or upscaling processing. Totally different circuits, but basically will work off the same hardware platform. And so everything we've been doing now is trying to squeeze as much as we can out of this existing platform. And when we came to TPF last year too, we were still selling displays that were locked to one game. So if you bought an Attack from Mars, it would only work in Attack from Mars. And people in the audience asked, well, will you ever make it so that if we want to move the display, you know, maybe we can buy another software update or something? And so we were trying to work it out how we could make that possible. In the end, we decided to just open the whole thing up. So now if you buy a color DMD, it ships with just this generic single color Sigma ROM. And I get emails a few times a quarter, especially from people who buy it on eBay that said, hey, I bought a display for this game and it's white, you know, it's broken. And so all of the color ROMs are on our site. You can repurpose the display for any game that you want. You decide you want to move it from one to another. We come out with something new and you're like, hey, I want to see what that looks like before I commit to buying another one. You can shift it around. So it's pretty simple. You just plug it into the USB port, press a button, and the code will update. And so we've split the product line now in the development that we have really between these two applications, one for the multicolor games, which have been mostly focused on Williams, and another on everything else. So all the games that we haven't colored yet, or maybe will be too hard to color because they have low resolution video frames and it's hard to even see what you're looking at to color it. So we have these two platforms, and the rest of the talk I'll basically talk about what we're doing on both sides. So let's start with the multicolor. So we announced Tales of Arabian Nights. That's the 10th title that we've done. The first title, Attack from Mars, was April of 2012. So we're coming up on our two-year anniversary. That was the original one. So we're putting these out at about 5 a year. We're still looking for ways to accelerate this. Creature from the Black Lagoon was actually done by somebody besides Chris and I. I did Attack from Mars. I also did half of Whitewater. Kenny Hardy did Creature. Virtually everything else has been colored by Chris Enright, who you saw in the earlier slide. And so I sort of explain how it works in high-level terms. Here's just a picture that explains it a little bit more. So the DMD signal comes in, and the first block of processing that we do is frame identification. So we actually hand paint every single, or hand color every single frame in the game. We try to make the job a little bit easier by looking for frames that are similar. So for example, you might have a frame that has a graphic in part of the screen and then the score is in this area. We can't anticipate every possible score that you're going to have. So we tried to come up with smart algorithms that can identify what the frame is, and if there's a score there, we know that there's a score in this section, so we'll color that area of the screen differently than what we're doing in the rest of the graphics. So for every frame that comes in the game, as you're playing it, we're trying to do this real-time lookup of what the frame is and find the color information and basically overlay it. So that's what's happening in the frame processor. And then because we're moving from a DMD to an LCD screen, they operate very differently from a technology standpoint. So we have to find a way to do the frame rate conversion and take basically planes of information that your eye is averaging. We have to do some of that work for the LCD. So we have to take several frames or several scan lines of row information and combine that into a multi-level dot value that we can put on the screen. So a little bit more on how we're trying to support new titles. So I mentioned Creature, which came out just before Expo around October of last year. That was done by an outside artist. The tools that we have still require a high level of support from us. This isn't easy. It's not, you know, sometimes we get people complaining about a color and why don't you open the tool so I can make it whatever color I want? It's really not that easy, and it's not just, well, if wherever Creature is, make him green, right? We have to look at every single frame, and wherever he is, we have to color that dot green. So, and then to deal with all of the different corner cases, which I talked a little bit about in previous talks, things like changing scores or count values or, you know, frames rolling off the screen and coming up with a new frame that you don't know what it's going to reveal. There's all of these things that are hard to make look smooth that we're trying to do processing where it was never intended to be. So rather than just open everything up and let people get frustrated, what we're trying to do is invite people in. So if you have a game that you're interested in working on and you have 100 hours to spare for, you know, almost no income, you know, let us know. Basically, the people that we're getting are people who are really passionate about a certain game. It's probably not one from a business standpoint that would make sense for us to do ourselves, but if we get the right person and they have the right skill set and we can work together, we can find a way to make that happen. So we're engaging with members of the community. Kenny's one. We tried to add three more people at the end of last year. One of those projects is underway. Two of them were slow to start. We're engaging with somebody else now on a different title. So we are open. We have to balance the needs of, you know, supporting you and getting more titles out with all of the projects that we're doing internally. So it's a challenge sometimes. People get frustrated if I don't email them back right away or, you know, if it doesn't look like it's a good fit. But we're doing the best we can to deliver on what you want, which is more titles available. And, you know, I think what we're hitting now is a lot of the A-list Williams Games titles have been covered. There's a few more that we still need to hit. But it's moving now. People are asking for titles for either, you know, I don't want to say B-list, but some of the lower demand Williams titles or other manufacturers like Stern, Data East, and so we're trying to make all that happen. So the way we do this is if you engage with us, we bring you in as an independent contractor, you get access to our tools. We have a developer site now where we're trying to build a support community where colorists can interact. We do provide some small amount of compensation for your time. And then the deal is at the end, we own the completed work. We'll publish it. We'll support it. After that initial engagement, you can walk away if you want to, but hopefully you stay on and maybe do another game. So there's an email address there. You can contact us if you're interested. Martin always gets the worst pictures of me. I'm trying to smile in one. Okay. So on the multicolor strategy, some of the things that you'll be seeing is we're going to re-release all the multicolor ROMs. We added a couple features on the Sigma platform recently. There's a vertical adjustment, which I didn't think anybody would need because we tried to line everything up on the multicolor games, but occasionally I do get a comment that, hey, it doesn't look right on my game. Can you add this feature? So we added it. So you can fine-tune the vertical position. And then this thing called gamma selection. So if you're not familiar with gamma, it's a video term, and it basically is a mapping of perceived brightness levels, I guess is the... Martin could probably give a better explanation. But if you look at how a DMD works from a technical standpoint, it's different than the way a CRT or an LCD works. So for CRTs and LCDs, they're designed to sort of have an exponential brightness curve, which is well matched to your visual system. When you look at a DMD, it's more linear because they're using pulse width modulation to basically just control how long something's on the screen. As a result, what happens is all the bright levels sort of get squashed together. It's hard to generate a dark level. And that's one reason why video looks really bad on the DMD screens. In Stern's case, they've tried to do some work to encode things correctly, but there's a limitation in the technology that just limits how well that works. So for Sigma, where we're dealing with 12 levels, or actually 13 levels for Stern and 16 levels for PROC, we added a feature where instead of doing this compression emulation, which we'd always been doing, we tried to emulate to make it look the way the DMD looks, we gave an option. So you can use the DMD emulation or you can just use a linear mapping. And people who've looked at it tend to like the linear mapping. It's really just choice. I mean, especially for these games, you're dealing with four levels, but you get a little bit more contrast between the darks and the brights. So if you have a Sigma, you can load this feature today, and it'll be available soon for all the multicolor ROMs too. As far as what we're doing internally, so Chris and I, we're trying to wrap up the highly requested Bally Williams titles. Also working on expanding multicolor support to other platforms. I mentioned at Expo last year that Stern's the next target. So the way things have worked is I tend to work on the technology development while Chris is coloring titles. And Chris is also working with the guys that are signing up to help out on the other titles. So for developers, really what we're looking for at the moment is the titles that we probably wouldn't do ourselves, right? The ones that you guys want that, not the Twilight Zones, not the Indiana Jones, but some of the other titles, that's where we could use help. Any questions on the multicolor stuff?
Can you license it out to somebody else that can help you?
Well, for which titles?
For like different titles. Somebody else wants to do their, except one individual, like another company, you can license it out to somebody.
Yeah, no other companies asked us to do it, so it's really just individuals. It's just people, hobbyists just signing up. Yeah, there's a market, but it's a tough market. It's a bit of a grind, right? Coloring titles, it's a lot of hours, and you get it done, and then you can't leverage a whole lot of it when you go to the next title. The technology we can leverage, but not all the time coloring.
You ever going to sell the technology to Stern and let them do their own?
you know, I've talked to Stern. I don't want to speak for Stern, but the message I got is that their new platform is coming. So I think, you know, they have plans, yeah. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the Sigma stuff. So Sigma, as I mentioned, first time we ever showed it was a year ago. The name came from, other than sounding cool, it's sort of a bit of a summation or a deviation. Those are math terms. But that captured what it was. It's hard to say whether there's really a Sigma platform or a Sigma ROM. It's confusing. We're confused too. But what we sell now, the way it ships, it will come with a Sigma ROM on it, which is that it does a single color and it does the upscaling. But that same platform, as I mentioned, can do any of the multicolor stuff. So it's really the summation of everything that we had before. When we released this, in conjunction with that, that's when we unlocked everything. It worked to our benefit, too, because it made it easier to stock and supply you guys with what you want. It's challenging if we're trying to figure out if we build a couple hundred units, how many should be Attack from Mars or Medieval. So it makes you do a little bit more work because you have to upload the USB stick, but we made it as simple as we can. There's a video on our website that shows how to do it. Right now, people have asked, will we ever see the smoothing with the color at the same time, the multicolor at the same time? The processor that we have on the board today can't do both. So that's why it's an either or. We're still evaluating whether we're going to do something in the future, maybe with a board update or something that can support the smoothing with the multicolor. For legacy displays, if you bought an original Attack from Mars or anything before we opened this platform up, we made a free key upgrade available. So if you have any of these old displays, you just have to send us a photo. There's info on our website about how to do it. Just send us a photo that shows the serial number for your display. We'll send you a key, and you basically get all the new features. So we've tried to do that as much as we can. As we come out with any new feature, we're trying to just give it away. You know, we're trying to add more value for the guys that have bought things. We're not trying to force you into buying something new to replace the thing that you just bought 6 months ago. So I think I said everything that's on this slide already. So the only caveat is that some of the things that we're doing from a technology standpoint, it may not be possible. And as an example, when we did Adam's family, we had to add a lamp interface. And so if you had an old board that didn't have a lamp interface, there's nothing we can do. You can't use that board on Adam's family. So if you buy something, you know, make sure it fits whatever you want to use it for today. So, you know, the whole library that's there now is available, but there's really no guarantee that something new that we come out with will work with the existing hardware platform. So just cautionary note. If you're using Sigma, we're up to 97 color selections from that. We could make it more, but we're trying to keep the interface simple so you could step through and get something that matches a color on the play field or on the translate. I think it's enough. It was probably enough before when we had 49 colors, but if you just can't find the color you want, let me know and we'll see if we can work it out. So that sort of covers that. All right, and then the upscaling question.
And your colors, have you made it where you plan to make it where you can have a name for the colors so you can select them the exact
image? So we didn't add names, but we were asked before, can we put a tag on the screen that gives an indication of what color you're on, because it's hard to find that same color again later. So that was added. So now as you step through, there's a hex code next to it, basically just a counter. And so you can, if for some reason you need to reinstall something and your color got wiped out, you can find it again. Okay, so the upscaling sort of grew at a time when there was a lot of discussion on the forums about grid lines. Some of the LED displays that are out, well, all of them really, they're built up of these submatrices. And so when you put them together, they never line up exactly correct. And so either you get a grid line that is not uniform all the way through, or if you want to try to get them so that it is uniform, you got to space them further apart, and then you'll see these clusters You can see them in the hall if you look closely. So you'll see a square of an 8x8, and then there's another 8x8 next to it. So with the LCD, it gives us some additional opportunity to leverage technology. And so one of the things that we thought about was, we already had perfect grid lines. That was sort of a selling point for color DMD. Everything was lined up really nicely. But what if we could get rid of the grid lines altogether? So a benefit that I didn't really consider when we were doing that was that the image will end up being brighter than it was before, because obviously now we're using all the pixels in the screen instead of just the ones where the dots are. And the dots really take up less than 50% of the available screen resolution. So even in the visible area, it takes up less than 50%. So, we get brighter displays, and then we're able to do some novel display effects. And so what we introduced last year at this show was three different display effects, and we had the one on the bottom, which is hard to see on the slide, but we call it scan lines. It's sort of an interlaced video emulator. We put that in for Twilight Zone. And that also grew because there was interest in the forums. People were asking, hey, why don't you do a black and white display, which we sort of already had. It was already supported in the firmware. You could go to dots and pick up black and white. We were surprised anybody wanted that, but we're like, okay, well, if we're going to do black and white, what else can we add to it? And Chris had this idea, what if we do this interlace effect? And so a lot of people have been using that on their Twilight Zone. It looks kind of cool. One of the complaints that we got, though, was that at this show, that the text looked a little bit fuzzy. And so I ended up spending months trying to find better algorithms to do the text sharpening. And so at Expo last year in October, we announced Sigma 2.2. We're up to 2.4 right now. But we in Sigma 2.2, we did this upgrade on the upscaling algorithm. And that seemed to make people a lot happier. The key there was not letting the dots get bigger. Originally, the dot occupied a small space, and then I didn't realize that it was really important to keep the white in that area, and wherever there was black, like that your brain did something with that black space. So the original algorithm would basically just sort of let pixels grow and connect to dots next to them. And what ended up happening is the white got too big, and people complained. It looked weird. So In the new Sigma, if you haven't updated your display, you should, because it looks a lot better. Okay, the other thing that we announced in October was multi-platform support. So we were already supporting both WPC 95 and WPC, and we had this mounting thing that you can pick from to set. Really, the only thing that was different was where it vertically aligned. So in October, also at the same time with Sigma 2.2, we announced White Star and SAM. And with the same feature set. So you can use dots, you can use scan lines, you can use full HD upscaling. And so that allowed us to go into all of the different Stern games. After Expo, we also added a new mounting bracket, which made it easier. I don't have a picture of that here, but it made it easier to mount in White Star. If you have a White Star game, you know there's a White Star board that's mounted to the back of the DMD. And so we basically came up with a new bracket that makes it easy to relocate that to the back of the color DMD. Then Stern threw a curve at us a few months ago when they changed their back box. And so all of this work that we put into making this thing work across all these different platforms sort of got thrown away. The image wasn't lined up in the right spot, and it wasn't easy to mount the LCD. So Martin Reynolds from Pinbits was nice enough to come up with a plastic mounting adapter, and that'll work with any of the old brackets. So if you get a new game, a new Stern game with the new back box, and you have an older display, there's a solution there. For newer displays, if you buy from now going forward, we've added extra holes to the bracket too that line up better on the Stern platform. And then there's that vertical offset adjustment that I discussed before was really added for this application to let people be able to mount it on yet another back box configuration. The gamma selection I already talked about. The other thing that we added in the beginning of this month is support for PROC. So when I was at Expo, the guys that had the Matrix game, if you've seen this on the forums, awesome looking game. The display left a little bit to be desired. And so they said, we really want to use a color DMD, but it won't work. So I worked with them and Jerry Stellenberg and figured out what the interface needed to be, and we got everything working for PROC. So now you can put your color DMD in your PROC. You know, if you're on the Predator list, you can put it in Predator if you want to. It'll work with any of the PROC platforms. And again, it really one of the drivers for that that gamma feature was when these guys are ripping videos on the PROC platform, they don't really know about the whole gamma thing. So they're not doing any special encoding to make it look right on the DMD. So a lot of those videos that are on the Matrix actually look way better on a color DMD with the linear mapping, because that's how the video data was encoded. That's sort of what you would expect from PC or MPEG captured data. All right, so that brings us up to date. So the new feature that we added is this color changing feature. There's a video floating around on YouTube, if you haven't seen it yet, where we have it linked into a Tron with a pinball toppers speaker light kit. And we have the same demo set up here in the Elevation Games booth. It's on a Spider-Man, so you guys can take a look at it after the talk. But really what the change is it's an external hardware interface now where you can pick the color. All right, so you can drive it from either like a remote controller. You can actually use a wireless remote to change the color now instead of having to use our awkward four-button interface. But you can also use it to tie it in with under-cabinet lighting kits, flasher kits, you know, whatever. So the demo right now is sort of just this random color changing, but our goal is that we want to see this become a more interactive feature in the games. And so we're talking now with some of the game developers and some of the guys that are producing mods and seeing what they can do with this feature and how we can implement it. So it's a simple four-wire interface, which I'll show you in a second. It's a voltage and then a green, red, blue signal. And we also support pulse width modulation, which is basically just changing the duty cycle of the signal so that, you know, if you pull down red, you get red. If you pull down green, you get green. If you pull them both down at the same time, you get yellow. But if you want orange, you have to find a way to toggle the red and the green on and off at the right ratio. And so that's what that pulse width modulation is. So we support it on the display. And you can see that as the colors are fading from one color to another. You know, it's tracking with what the speaker lights are doing. So this is the demo that we have. It's a pinball toppers controller. So you can see the remote control at the top of the screen. The remote, the wireless remote, is there in the middle. And then I just took a splitter on the bottom and added a 4-pin Molex connector. I cut off one of the ends and put a 4-pin Molex connector, which plugs right onto the end of our lamp in kit, our lamp in input on our board. So when it's installed, it sort of looks like spaghetti, but you can see that the remote controller's up at the top there. There's two white wires on the left. One goes to a speaker, one's going to our splitter, and then it gets split to one connector on our board. The other connector goes to the other speaker. That's it. That's all you have to do. So if you have any mods that use like these 50-50 LED strips, they all have this interface. So you can tie the display in pretty easily to any kind of controller that drives those LEDs. So that's it for that. Any questions on Sigma stuff? Okay. So we did our best to have a lot of displays at the show for you guys to see if you haven't seen them before. So Mark's got a bunch of the multicolor stuff set up in his booth and the color-changing Spider-Man. Marty Roberts, the pinball side mirrors booth, has a whole line of just Sigma displays running on Stern titles. So you could take a look at those, how it looks. And then Ed, Jennifer, and John, you know, help us out just by bringing games and letting us hang our logo on it. So thanks very much to them for supporting us. In Mark's booth also, we have these Color DMD stickers. I had printed these for Expo. I didn't know they would be such big, such interest in stickers. Apparently, we're all big kids and we still like stickers, or maybe you guys are grabbing them for your kids. I don't know, but when you're over in the Elevation Games booth, just look at the table there. There's stickers there. You're free to take them. I wanted to bring up our rewards program. So a lot of people call me and say, do we have discounts for shows? We don't really sell anything at the shows. Everything's through our website. And we don't offer show discounts. But what we do is try to offer rewards for people who help us at shows by bringing games or hosting displays. So, you know, this spring we're offering discounts. We're offering T-shirts. If you don't want to buy anything, we'll just send you a T-shirt for helping us out. So just something to be aware of. We do it for most shows. If you're going to one, you're going to bring something, just let us know. We're also offering free stuff on Facebook from time to time if you're on Facebook. And then all of our videos for every product that we've done, we usually shoot a video. It's the best way to get the word out. And so you could go to our YouTube channel, just youtube.com/colordmd. You could find all the videos, or you can go through our store site and, you know, with each product, you can find some video for it. That's all I have. Any questions? Martin?
You mentioned that, that you do support for single-color Stern games. Where are you with progress towards multicolor White Star and Sand?
So the plan for Stern is to start offering something before the end of the year. You know, I mentioned that at Expo also. Really, the first big step for Stern was just getting the interface to work, because the way they scan video from the controller is a little bit different. So we got that working with Sigma and all the single color. And now really it's just a matter of porting all the tools, all the development tools that for painting the images over from WPC to Stern. So it hasn't started yet. Probably take me a few months to get all that nailed down. So probably fall of this year, hopefully we'll see some Stern stuff roll out.
You've got people working on games?
Not for Stern.
The next time you see Pat coming out.
You want to know what they are? You know, I honestly don't know, because we have multiple projects going on at the same time, and so I don't know the order. You know, Creature we thought was going to come out a lot earlier than it did, but because of some of the challenges, other things happened first. I don't like to announce titles, because anything could happen. If it's somebody working outside with us, they might just decide, hey, I don't want to do this anymore. And, you know, the other thing is, as soon as we announce it, then people expect it right away, and then they get mad when it's not available. So we usually don't announce anything until we're pretty close, until it's firm. Any other questions before the king takes over? Good. How are you doing, Steve?
Will you make $1 an hour or less?
It's, yeah, flipping burgers. And
there is scope for, I think, the color DVD work for titles like Baywatch, where they've got the bigger...
Yeah. So we've gotten a lot of questions about, will you support the large Sega displays? And my feeling on that is, most of the time we're being asked that because the display is expensive. It's not that it's not available, it's just expensive. And our stuff isn't cheap, you know. I don't know that we could do it. We can't use the same 15-inch monitor that we have now without doing some type of bezel. It won't fill the space. So we would have to go to a 17-inch screen, which would be more cost. And so, you know, my feeling is, if when we get to a point where those displays don't exist anymore and games are at risk of just getting, you know, dumpster dropped, then we'll do something. But as far as I know, you can still get displays at not too unreasonable prices, so we'll see what happens. Okay, that's it. Thanks, everyone.